All right, let's turn back to Genesis chapter 15, and we'll pick up where we left off last week. We're talking about the cloud, the Shekinah, and it's Abraham's involvement with it, and we see that in chapter 15, verse 17, and I've been trying to get you caught up so we can get to verse 17, but we just can't get there for some reason, and but we're going to keep trying, okay? And I guess tonight, one of the main things that I want you to see is how the Old Testament scriptures develop. And we all know that the main theme of the Bible is salvation. It's how God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, and provided a salvation for our souls. All right? And so that's what I'm wanting you to see. If you remember, the minute that Adam sinned, God promised a redeemer. In Genesis 3:15, he promised a redeemer. And then all the rest of the Bible, the entire rest of the Bible is the plan of God to get that redeemer here, so that the Redeemer could die on the cross and pay our sin debt. That's what the Bible is all about. All right, so I don't remember which sermon it was on Sunday. I guess it was Sunday night. Which one was Sunday morning? It was Sunday night, I think. I don't know. I don't remember. Might have been Sunday morning, but anyway, the sermon where if you have a rebellious son, stone him. Remember, the Jews stoned their criminals, but the Romans crucified their criminals, and so we went back into the Old Testament and read that passage where the law said that if you have a rebellious son or daughter, and they won't straighten up, then you call the elders of the city, and they will come and talk to him or her, and if there's no change of heart, they will stone that child. They'll stone that young man or that young lady. And then it said you were to hang their body on a tree. And then it gave this statement, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. All right, now I want you to think about this. Would you have turned your child in? I wouldn't. You say, well, then why is that there? That's there so the people could see Jesus. It is a picture. It is a picture. Here is a rebellious world. Men are rebellious. All right? They're rebellious. What if God said, all right, the elders of the church, the open door, so that'd be the pastor and the pastoral staff, all right, you take that church member and you take them out back and stone them. Huh. And then you take their body and hang it on a tree. You see, it's all a picture. And at every turn of the page, we are to see the Lord Jesus, either in prophecy, in history, in picture, in type, in form, in symbol. He's on every page. And that's what we're supposed to see. Here's man, he sins. And what does God do? God promises the Redeemer. And the Bible from Genesis 3:15 all the way through the entire Bible is showing us God's plan of redemption for mankind. And all the way through the Old Testament, we have picture after picture after picture of the coming Redeemer and what he would do for mankind. He would die for us. It's interesting. You go over to Psalm 22 in your Bible and you read these words. Now, this is Old Testament. Don't forget, this is Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, Psalm 22, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Does that ring any bells with anybody? Well, it certainly ought to, because that is word for word what the Lord Jesus said as he was hanging on the cross. All right? And so the Bible is, the Old Testament is just full of those pictures and those prophecies telling us that the Redeemer was coming. All right, so the question is, we got down to verse. Let's see, one. Look at verse 2. It says of chapter 15. It says, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. No seed. Now, he has no child. He has a promise. Remember, he got that in chapter 12. It was restated to him several years later when he was obedient to the Lord, and the promise was restated, and so he knows that he has a promise. What is the promise? That he's going to have a seed, and from that seed, eventually, the Redeemer is going to come. All right, that's what the story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right on down the line, that's what it's all about. It's not in the Bible just for filler material. All right, you and I are supposed to read this and see Jesus in it. Amen. All right, that's why it's there. And so now here is Abraham, and everything's just going, you know, his way. Everything's right on track, but yet he doesn't have a child, and he's getting older, and his wife's getting older, and it won't be long until they are both beyond the years to naturally have a child, but he has a promise. And so he comes now in chapter 15, after the Lord tells him, fear not, in verse 1, I am Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, he's looking for that reward, a son. He's looking for that son. And he says, I go childless. Behold, verse 3, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. He's talking about Ishmael there. But Ishmael was not the answer. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. God said, no, Ishmael's not your heir. He's not the one that's going to inherit the promise that I've given to you. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad. Now he's going to reiterate it to him again. He's going to show him again the promise. Third time. All right? Remember, numbers mean something. And three is the number of completion. So he's going to show him one more time. And he said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So God, the third time, takes him out and tells him, look up in the sky. When he does, he said, can you count all those stars? Man, I can just see Abraham sitting there now. No. Can't you? You can't count the stars. There's no way you could count the stars. And so God says to him, well, Abram, I'm going to give you a seed that will multiply, be as multiplied as all the stars that you see in the sky. You won't even be able to number the children that are going to come from your seed. Well, when Abraham heard that, verse 6, he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So he is looking for a seed. And that seed is a must. A must. Now, we all know the story, don't we? We know that that God waited until Abram was 99 years old and Sarah was 90 years old, and then they had the child. I'm sure all the neighbors were going, what? I mean, look at that gray-haired gal. And she's having a baby? Man. And they probably came to Abraham and said, you know, Abraham, we're really puzzled about this. I mean, how in the world did this happen? And Abraham would look at them and say, I have a promise. I have a promise. You have a promise. What do you mean you have a promise? Yeah. Yeah. God said he's going to make a great nation out of me and my seed. And he made that promise to me years ago. As a matter of fact, he made it three times to me. And in that promise, I believed him. And I still believe that what he said he's going to do. And lo and behold, now here's our baby. You see, God waited until there was no doubt that he was the one that did the miracle. Don't forget, with God, nothing is impossible. And when God gave that child that seed and fulfilled that promise, it was recognition that only God could do this. Right. So who gets the glory for it? God does. Exactly. All right. So Abraham has solid ground upon which to rest his faith. And that solid ground was the promise that he got. It was first given to him in chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and then it was reiterated in chapter 13, and now reiterated again, and the promise is secure. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, folks, we need to understand that Abram's family was in direct line to become the ancestor of the Redeemer that would come according to the flesh. All right? The Redeemer would come through Abraham. Now, let me show you a couple of things here. I think these things are important. All right, we're gonna take a minute and look at this little word seed. All right, it's really important in all this, and especially in the book of Genesis. Okay, so here in 15, we see that he is concerned about the seed. All right, now let's go back for just a moment. Let's go back to chapter 9 for just a moment. Go back to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. All right, look please at verse 9. Now, who is this chapter? Who's the main character in this ninth chapter? Noah, exactly right. All right, so Noah and the flood waters have now receded from off the earth, and we see God blessing Noah and his sons in verse 1, and he told them to multiply and fill up the earth. All right, so look now at verse 8. It says, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying," watch this now, "And I, behold, I establish my," what? Covenant. "I establish my covenant with you and with your," what?
Seed.
There you go. Seed. You see, the seed is very important. Now, we're going backwards here from chapter 15 back to chapter 9. We're going from Abraham back to Noah, but the seed is important.
Amen.
And God said to Noah that in verse 9, "I will establish my covenant with you." And that's exactly what he did. Look at verse 11. He says, "And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood." That's good to know, isn't it? "Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." All right, so you know, if we trace back, all of us can be traced back to Noah, right? Okay, every one of us. If you're Jewish, then you go back to Noah through his son Shem. All right. If you are a Gentile, you trace your roots back, depending upon where you are from and where you grew up. But you trace your roots back to either Japheth or to Ham. But all of us can go back to Noah. And so this covenant, this promise, was made to all of us. Okay? All of us. What is it? The promise that God is never going to destroy the earth with water again. Now, if God hadn't made that promise, folks, don't you think that every time a thunderstorm built up, Ham, Shem, and Japheth would be running for the hills? I mean, they would have thought, "Oh no, here we go again." Dad, we were talking, we're not going to get too far away from the ark. All right? We're not going to get too far away. Why, son? Well, you know, if it starts raining again, we don't want to drown. We're going to come get back on the ark. But God made a covenant. God made a promise. Now, with Abraham and that promise, God gave the sign of circumcision as a sign of the covenant. But with this covenant that God made with Noah and thus with all of mankind, what is the sign? What is the token? Verse 12, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, the rainbow. That is the token. That is the sign that God gives. So when we see a storm, we see a lot of rainbows here in Carroll County, a lot of them. I've seen more rainbows, I guess because I was down in the mountains of West Virginia and you couldn't see, but just, you know, right there, you know. And I guess that's why we didn't see too many rainbows down there. But I have noticed since moving here, we get rainbows all the time. And so the storm will roll in and the lightning will flash and the thunder will crack and roar and the wind will blow and the rains will pour. But then it stops. The clouds part. And then the bow is in the clouds. And that is a promise from God. Oh, I know you were nervous there just a minute ago. But I made a promise that I would never destroy the earth with water again. Folks, that's one reason why I believe with every fiber of my being that the flood was a universal flood. Amen. All over the earth. It was not a localized thing. It was all over the earth. The entire earth was covered in the flood waters. All right, so in this covenant, a prophetic word was pronounced upon the sons of Noah and specifically the son Shem. All right, look at chapter 9 and verse 26. Verse 26. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. So right there in verse 26, it says in verse 27, God shall enlarge Japheth, the Gentiles, the people of America, the people of Europe, the people of Russia. He said God will enlarge Japheth. And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So all three of his sons were given a part in this promise. But notice that the Lord indicates, in verse 26, indicates that that Shem and his descendants were to have a distinct and glorious position in the economy of God. It was through the descendants of Shem that that God would eventually reveal his will and through whom the Savior, the Redeemer, would ultimately come. So it is from Shem that we have the Jewish people. And understand, folks, that this declaration was an integral part of the covenant that God made. And it's a changeless covenant. This covenant cannot fail, and it cannot be broken, just like the Abrahamic covenant cannot change. and it cannot be broken. So let's go back one more, all right? Go back to chapter 3. Let's go back one more. I'm not getting very far here. And I'm going backwards, right? Never thought of that, but I am going backwards. All right, so look, please, if you will, now at verse, look at verse 10. It says, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." So this is Adam answering God when God came looking for him and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, verse 11, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." So in other words, Adam says, wasn't my fault, is her fault. And then ultimately, what Adam is saying, it's not really her fault, it's your fault for giving her to me. Yeah, look at it. Look at it. All right, let me show you. The man said, "The woman whom," what's the next word? "Thou gavest to be with me." The woman you gave me, God. So he's blaming God ultimately. Isn't that something? And the woman said, "No, it's not my fault." She says in verse 13, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And so here's the result of all that. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent," so God's now speaking to the devil, "because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now, folks, right there is why I hate snakes. Amen. They're cursed. I don't want anything to do with them. If I see one on the highway, I'll go across the yellow line to run over it. They're cursed. I just don't, I get the googly boots just thinking about them. I don't want anything to do with them. They're cursed. All right, look at verse 15. Now he's going to come to the woman, and he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," there it is, "between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, they tell me that the word "bruise" there, both times, is a strong word, and it is used this way, to crush. "Thou shalt crush his head, and he will crush your heel." Now, you remember when the Lord Jesus was taken to the cross? What did they do? They nailed his feet to the cross. They bruised, they crushed his heel. Think about that. Now, question. If you crush someone's head, isn't that a death blow? Amen. It is, isn't it? So the devil's doomed. You see that? He's gonna get his noggin crushed one of these days. When God grabs him, when the Lord Jesus grabs him by the nape of the neck and the seat of the pants and casts him into outer darkness, right into the lake of fire to burn forever and ever and ever and ever. He's going to be, his head is going to be crushed. Okay? Now, here's something neat. All right? Don't forget, endless covenant, changeless covenant. Can't change it. Nothing can change it. Now, listen, the devil tried. He tried all the way through. There was a preacher, and his name escapes me right now. I know I think of it as soon as I say amen tonight. And if I do think of it, I'll call all of you, all right? But his name escapes me, but he wrote a book, and y'all probably know, some of you will know. He wrote a book, and he called it The Scarlet Thread. Was it B.H. Carroll? No, that's Scarlet Letter. That was The Scarlet Letter. Now, we ain't talking about that book. That's a no-no book. I think it was B.H. Carroll. I think that was his name. And he wrote a book called The Scarlet Thread. And what he does in that book is he takes the blood from first mention all the way through the Bible, all the way through the Old Testament. And he ends up at Calvary with the Lord Jesus. No, it wasn't Chris Well. I think it was B.H. Carroll. But anyway, in that book he says, the thread cannot be cut. Now, the devil tried to cut it, didn't he? Oh, so many times the devil tried to cut that. But don't forget Sunday morning, mine hour is not yet come. He had to die a specific time in a specific way. Okay, so it could not be cut. All right, now, again, look at verse 15. All right, I'm going to show you something. I've told you this before, but we have a tendency to forget things, so let me tell you again. All right, if you will look, please, at verse 15. God promised that he would put enmity. You say, what in the world is enmity? Well, it's an enemy. Enmity is enemy. He said that he would put enmity between the devil's seed and the seed of the woman. Now, watch this carefully. Look carefully at verse 15. Do you see the little word seed in that verse, with connected to the woman? All right, now here's the deal. The Hebrew word for that word seed is the word zera, Z-E-R-A-H, zera. The Hebrew language it has masculine, and then it has feminine. And with the ending that is put on the word, you know whether it's masculine or feminine. Okay? Now, listen very carefully. Every time this word, zera, translated seed, is used in the scriptures, it's masculine. Every time, except for right here. And it's feminine right here. Now you're saying, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, this is the only place. And notice, it says, between Thee and the woman, and that woman in it going down between thy seed and her seed. This is the only time that the feminine word ending is used. The only place in all of the Old Testament. Now the question is this. Who is the only one born of a woman, but not born of a man? You see it? Isn't that awesome? The Lord Jesus, the only one who is born of a woman, but not of a man. So that's why it is in the feminine in this verse. That is, I tell you, every time I think of that, it just blows me away. The only one born of a woman, but not of a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God promised that the coming Redeemer would crush the devil's head, or in other words, would destroy him. Would destroy him. Listen to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. John says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy the works of the devil. Folks, listen, the devil came and ruined everything. Jesus came to fix everything. With sin came death. With the Lord Jesus comes life. With the devil came darkness. But with Jesus, we get light. And it's amazing, isn't it? So when man sinned, that is what motivated God to make a divine promise that he would send himself in the form of his son to provide redemption for each and every one of us. All right, so now go back over to chapter 12 for just a moment. And in chapter 12, we see after the flood, after Noah, in chapter 12, after the waters have receded, after Ham, Shem, and Japheth are blessed of God, after God makes the covenant with Noah and says, never again will I destroy the earth with water. Now we're introduced to the line, the family that is eventually going to give us that Redeemer. And that's the family of Shem. And as you keep reading down from Shem, you're going to find a fellow by the name of Abram. Abraham, who would become Abraham. And seven times in the first three verses here, we have God's promise. Seven times he promised him what he was going to do. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, what do we find? We find again Abraham getting that call and getting that promise as a direct descendant to Shem, Shem to Noah. And still going back, Noah is a direct descendant of who? Adam. So you see, you've just got that scarlet thread, and it goes all the way back. to Adam, all the way back. Abram was the lineal descendant or ancestry to Shem. You say, what's the word lineal mean? Well, it means a direct line. Abraham was a direct line of descent or ancestry to Shem, and thus had every right to cherish the hope that his family would be the favored family that God chose through which to bring the Redeemer to this world for mankind. If he could not trace his lineage back to Shem, he would not have had anything to give him confidence that his family would be the family through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But he could run his family back to Shem, and from Shem to Noah, and from Noah to Adam. And folks, that's why you have these genealogies in the Bible. God wants to make sure that you and I are not just grasping at straws here and trying to piece everything together and come up with a plan that works. No, God says, read my word, and I will show you. I can take you right all the way back to Adam. Awesome, isn't it? Well, there's more, but it's time to go. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will help us to see the connection here. Father, help us to see how the Bible fits together like a glove the Bible fits. And Father, I pray that you will help us to love your word and to want to go back and read and reread and study these things and learn these things. Because Father, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I pray you'll seal your word in our hearts tonight. And Father, just give us more faith as a result of what we have learned here this evening. Thank you for the word. In Jesus' name, amen.